My name is Candace Clear and I go by I Love Seth from Near on social media, and this is Alex with me today.
I go by Lord Myrl on TikTok and various other places, and I'm happy to be here.
We're happy to have you. So, Alex, tell me about your path.
As you know, I started out as a Norse pagan, a follower of Loki. And anytime anything sort of went weird and you was like, dadgummit, why? And I was like, oh, it's just Loki trying to get your attention. And from there, I started researching more and more into a lot of the Catholic saints, specifically La Santísima Muerte, or Our Holy Lady of Death, and went to Catholicism. And even though I am now a Catholic and you are still a pagan, we are still good friends, and it goes to show that it doesn't matter what religion you follow. You can still be respectful, and you can still be somebody's friend, even though their faith differs from yours.
Absolutely. So, what's your favorite part about that transition from Norse paganism to Catholicism? What was your favorite, like, I guess not your favorite part, what was like the defining moment for you?
Everything just started going into place. Like, things just started to fall into place for some reason. My best friend finally got fed up with his dad, who was a piece of shit. Moved into the camper. He's at Rock the South right now. But he moved into the camper, and we are currently looking for our own place. Okay. And this is a man that I call a brother. That if he calls me at like 3 a.m. and says, hey, I need you, I'm bringing a shovel just in case. Because you can never tell with certain friends, especially best friends. You go, this might come in handy.
Fair enough.
He got himself a bike. I got a whole new car in my name, insurance in my name, everything. Everything has started to fall into place like I have needed it to be.
Yeah, it's interesting how the universe does that. And sometimes it's very forceful with how it
ain't that the truth? About like your runes always slapping me in the face every time I ask for a rune reading. It's just like, oh, he's back.
And yet you still come back for more. And you're still, every single time I turn around and I give you a reading, you know you're going to get called out and you still come back for more.
Do you know why I come back for more?
Because you just rather hear the truth and you know you're going to get it?
That, and I know that it's going to tell me the truth and it's going to tell me what I need to work on.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, especially a lot of men, don't like being told what they need to work on. And I'm like, I may be a man, but I am humble enough to know when there are things that need to be worked on, that there are things that come together a lot better. And I know the one person I can go to is you, because you're going to be like, this is what you need to fix. Mm-hmm. Just like the last one was creativity, and I'm like, oh, why did you have to just slap me in the face like that? Like, listen, times is hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, it's not me. It's the runes. I'm just the one reading them. I'm just the messenger.
The whole thing of don't shoot the messenger. Oh, it's always fun when I come and I see you and Christian together, and I just go, so when's the wedding? Like, when is this going down? Whose knees do I have to break? Or who has to go missing to make this shit work?
His ex?
Right? I'm like, just sign the damn papers. Don't make me have to make an offer you can't refuse. I will go all Don Corleone on this motherfucker.
Yeah, he's just been having so many problems because he's filled out the paperwork, and he just wants somebody to, like, look over it, so that way he can make sure that everything's right, and that...
And there's nothing that can be brought back up into his face.
Not even just that. He just wants to make sure that the paperwork's right, so that way once it's filed, it's done. Like, he's so scared that he will have missed something or overlooked something, and then he's going to have to, like, resubmit it and repay for it all over again. And so he's just, like, he keeps on stressing about it. So he's been trying to find a lawyer that will look over the paperwork and make sure that everything is the way it needs to be and all of that. And every single lawyer that he talks to is like, oh yeah, sure, I'll look over the paper, but you're gonna have to pay me a huge amount of money to do it. And he's like, I don't got that. So yeah, it's been a whole journey. At some point he will be able to get divorced, and
this and will- then there better be a daggone wedding between the both of yous.
One
if
day.
I hear there are any problems, I will personally fly out and jerk a knot in both of your tails and say, if you don't work this out, I'm going to throw hands with both of you.
One day it'll happen. I don't know when, but when the time's right, I suppose.
All things come when they are needed the most.
Yeah.
Same with both life and death.
Yeah.
It is a cycle. When one thing ends, so too another thing shall begin.
Absolutely.
Nope. Oh. Even though we have differencing opinions on musicals and the like.
Yeah, you're going to bring up Grateful Dead, aren't you?
Listen, I still think it's an amazing... For what it was decent. It wasn't a shitstorm, but it was not great.
It was terrible. The best part of the whole movie... was Paris Hilton's face falling off, and it was bad. It was objectively awful because you had the most star-studded, most amazing cast. You had Sarah Brightman, you had Anthony Head. Like, you could not have got a better cast
to do this.
And yet, the cinematography was awful. The blood was awful. The gore was awful.
The cinematography and the blood could have been a whole lot better.
It was terrible. It was so bad, and it was so distracting about how bad it looked that I couldn't enjoy anything about it. It was just bad. You had the biggest, brightest, most amazing names in this movie, and you couldn't make it look good. You couldn't make it sound good. You couldn't do anything.
That might have been the look they were going for.
It was terrible. It was terrible. It was awful. I love Anthony Head. I love him as Giles in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I love Sarah Brightman. She is my icon.
Oh.
You just now realizing that he was Giles in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, aren't you?
Yes, and I had a little bit after I first watched that movie, I rewatched the entirety of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why it did not hit me then. Like, I was like, oh, he looks like this dude. But I don't know why it didn't click. It's the same person.
It is.
Just like when the Twilight series came out, one of the vampires plays Mickey Milkovich in Shameless. And I didn't realize it until I started looking. I went, Mickey?
Oh, that's funny. I love that. But yeah, it had a star-studded cast. I love the cast. The cast is beautiful.
Oh, the cast was amazing.
But the movie was objectively awful. It was so bad. It was terrible. It was so bad. I'm sorry. I love Sarah Brightman. I love her in Phantom of the Opera. I have listened to that soundtrack at least a million times. At least.
You even sang a couple on your YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I have sang that soundtrack so many times. I love Sarah Brightman. Like, she is my idol. She is my icon. I love her. And she couldn't save the movie. She couldn't even save the movie. It was just terrible. It was bad. The lighting was awful.
Now, the actress that played Shiloh, yeah, hands down, she, that was the good part of the movie. Like, they did good with her.
Yeah.
But it's, and the grave robber, but it started to fall flat as you saw more of the other cast. And I'm like, why? It started out good, and then you went to just, this is how we're going to do it.
Yeah, it got visually worse and worse as the movie went on. Like, it just visually got so terrible. The blood was so, I mean, the blood was pink. It was pink.
Right, and the only time, now I'm probably telling on myself here, but the only time you see pink colored blood is if the person was already dead and were bled dry. That is the only time blood appears as a pinkish color, is when somebody has already died.
Huh. Well then, I learned something new today. Is that because, like, embalming fluid or something? Like, is it because the, like, blood makes it? Oh no, if you just bleed,
it starts to break down. The blood legit starts to break down as the body decays. The longer you leave a body, the lighter the blood is going to get. And unless there is a poison that coagulates the blood, and then it gets darker.
Huh. Well, I learned something new today.
Right.
That's what this podcast is about, though. Learning new things. Talking to people with differing opinions, but, you know, being respectful and learning new things.
And dude, it is crazy. I've only met one other, like, person,
mm-hmm,
because of the job I have now. He's an old man, but he is willing to sit down and have a conversation about Christianity as a whole. Yeah. And is willing to listen. Most people in the South, if you bring up something that challenges their view of Christianity, they get offended. They get mad very quickly. And I'm like, that is not how you learn. Jesus says this. Jesus did not like the church at all, by any means.
No.
And people ask me, why don't you go to church? I'm like, because that is not my church. My church is between me and the deity I worship. That is it. And people go, well, that's not a church. And I'm like, that is exactly what a church is. A church isn't the building. It isn't the people. It is your relationship with the God you follow. Whether you be a pagan, whether you be a Satanist, whether you be a Christian, it is with your God. It is your personal experiences. It is not anybody else.
Absolutely. I mean, Jesus would literally preach outside. Like, he wouldn't even preach in a synagogue. He would preach outside.
He would hang around the people that everybody else said, why would you hang out with these type of characters? Why would you hang out with the ladies of the night and the homeless and those that were dying? And he tells them, what you do for the least amongst you, you do for me and my Father. He didn't say, oh, do it because you get something out of it. He said, do it because it is the right thing to do. It is a good thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, and let's face it, you know, community is only as strong as its weakest person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. If you can't be there for people, if you can't raise people up and help people when they're in a difficult situation, you're not being very Christianly.
Right? And you see it all the time with what's been going on with our community. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why are you hating them? Like, it is nothing to you. Now, I can see certain reasons that you dislike them. I can, because I'm not straight by any means. Mm-hmm. But even I'm starting to get sick and tired of the way they're just shoving it in people's faces. I'm like, that's how you make enemies.
But at the same time, I feel like it's an overcompensation, because it's so stupid that people are still, like, it's 2023 and people are still being homophobic. People are still...
Really?
You know, so, like, of course people are going to react the way that they are. Like, of course there are going to be people who are going to, you know, shove it in your face. Like, you... Literally every time you turn around, people are having Christianity shoved down their throats.
Exactly. Jesus was against that.
Mm-hmm.
And people always misrepresent what he says when he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, go and make them Christian first. He said, go and be with them, be with their dying, be with the ones that have nothing, and show them my truth, what I have come here to do. Not to put it right up in their face and say, convert or die. Because that is not how you gain followers. That is how you gain enemies. Because there's going to be people that say, is that an ultimatum? Is that a challenge? Like the Norse people, if you say convert or die, they're going to look at you and go, challenge accepted.
Yeah. Well, and which is interesting, because the whole reason that the Nordic religion died out in the first place, the whole reason that the pagan people converted to Christianity was because of basically politics. So when everything was going on, the church, you know, you couldn't trade with people who were not Christian. The church made it so that you couldn't even trade with people who were not Christian. So instead of being with these pagan people and, like, trying to show
understand.
Them. Yeah, like, basically what they did was they said, okay, well, if you want to be able to feed your people, you've got to become Christian. You want to be able to trade with us and have food and have, you know, all these nice things that we can provide for you, you've got to be Christian. So, yes, there was a lot of, like, convert or die, but there was a lot of convert or have your things be withheld from you so that you will slowly die.
The king started to go, I'm going to do what's better for my people.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead and say, hey, we have converted. This is what we are.
Mm-hmm.
Trade with us now.
Yeah. Yeah. So people would get baptized and, you know, like a lot of kings and earls or whatever you want to call them from the time. There's a lot of word usages and people aren't really sure exactly what the proper term is and what people would have actually called these leaders. But these leaders...
It all depended on the places.
Yeah.
Because yes, they had a king that made everything how it was. But the king had jarls, earls, vassals, knights, people that were under them that sort of helped keep everything in line. And if your lords were happy, your kingdom was prosperous. But if your lords were unhappy, they would rebel against you. So you had to find a fine median of give them enough, but don't give them too much that they no longer need you.
I mean, yes and no. I don't think that was the thought process behind all leaders. There was definitely plenty of leaders that had a lot of differing opinions.
That had a more ironclad grip.
Yeah. So it really depends on which leader you're talking about.
And like a lot of people that believe, oh, a lot of things that Hollywood has, like some of their monsters never existed. Mm-hmm. But if you look back, there were two saints that went to Ireland. Saint Nautilus and Saint Patrick. Saint Patrick, we can all agree, wasn't a very nice dude.
No.
Saint Nautilus went to the home of a dying old woman, a very good friend of my people, Clan Ossory. When he arrived to her home and opened the door to walk in, you know what he saw before his eyes? And he writes this in his journal. This is coming from his journal. He says, "Before my eyes, I saw a she-wolf. And before my very eyes, she had become an old woman right in front of me." Basically a werewolf, or a faula, as they were called in Ireland. And he said this was not a gift of the devil, but a gift of God, to be more inclined with nature and to be more with nature than everyone else. And people go, "Well, how is that possible?" And I'm like, you'd be surprised. Like, we do have the Voynich manuscript. Yale has it. And since they've gotten it, they've been unable to translate it. And they think it's in a cipher. And I'm like, yeah, it's in a cipher. But it's also in a language that even if you had the cipher, you still wouldn't be able to understand what it is. Like, it was made that way for a reason. It was made to where normal people who did not know the language could not read it and understand it, because it was not meant for you. And people go, "Well, how do you know that?" And I'm like, don't worry about it. You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
Yeah, that clair knowing. Just,
well, you could call it that, but old soul, new body, who dis?
Yeah.
Or more like that. Two souls in one body that are constantly at war with each other, which is detrimental to up here.
Yeah.
And a lot of people go, "How?" And I'm like, you ever had two souls in one body? It's not fun. Especially if one is a very old soul and everything that they're used to has completely changed. Like, I have to remind myself there are things you can no longer say because people will want to kill you.
Yeah.
And people go like, "What?" And I'm like, "Well, if you call me a Mick and you are anything but white, just know I'm going to call you a slur, because Mick is a slur for the Irish. They were called Micks, Paddies. They had signs in America when the Irish first started coming over. No Irish need apply. No." And that's a whole big reason of why the freed slaves and the Irish didn't get along. Because the same jobs that the freed slaves were allowed, the Irish were getting. And so it sort of created a, they're taking our jobs kind of thing. Like you see now with the Hispanic people. And I'm like, I have a great love for the Hispanic culture and the people, because they're really good people. Yeah. And a lot of people go, "Well, how can you say that?" And I'm like, you'd be surprised. Like, have you ever gone over to a Hispanic cookout? That dirty rice is something else. I tell you what, that's just delicious. Well, like at my old job, some of the older Hispanic women were like grandmothers to me.
Yeah.
And when they realized that I loved their food, I loved their language, they were like, "Oh, he's a pretty good person." Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is one of my favorite. The two type of women I want the most is an Asian woman, because I love Asian food, or a Hispanic woman, because I love Hispanic food. And people go, "Huh?" Like, even my brother makes fun of me, because he's like, he does the whole notion of a bluebird only mates with a bluebird.
Oh, he's one of those.
He is, but he is my brother, even though he is a stupid dumbass. He's still my brother, and he's never really wronged me in any way. But he's just like, you do you, but I'm like, that's not who I am.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's your preference, dude. Like, I don't care. Because at the end of the day, we all bleed the same color blood. Like, just because our skin color is different doesn't mean we are different. We may come from different cultures, but we are still human. And I've met good and bad on who are both white, Hispanic, Black, Asian. I've met good and bad on both sides. Yeah. So it's like, I have no hate for a culture or a race as a whole.
Yeah.
Because I don't see the point in it. I'm like, there's good and bad on all sides.
Yeah. No, that's the thing that people seem to have such a hard
grasp of.
They can't see past, like, oh, this is good, this is bad. Like, they can't see a gray area. There's so many people who just cannot see a gray area. And it's like, you're literally going to put everybody into one category or another specifically because of the way they look, their gender identity. Like, how can you paint every single person with the same paintbrush? You just can't.
Especially if you do not know them. And it's the same with politics. Like, people are like, oh, the Republicans are bad. Oh, the Democrats are bad. And I'm like, no, they're both pretty damn terrible. They both don't give a damn about you. That's just that's the rub. They don't care. All they care about is you voting them into office. They will make every promise in the book to get your vote and not deliver on a single one.
Yeah. That's the truth.
There were policies of Trump that I liked. There were policies of Biden that I liked. But there's a lot of stuff on both of them that I don't like. Just like with everybody's like, oh, Biden's so good. He cares about this community. He cares about that community. And I'm like, really? Go back to his earlier days, because the whole crime bill that was written that targets Black communities, he was one of the forefront people to write that.
Yeah, he was the one who said that he didn't want his kids to go to school with Black kids because it would create a racial jungle.
And people go, oh, he's so good. He cares about our community. I'm like, no, he doesn't. Like, he doesn't by any means.
No, like, that's the problem. None of these politicians do. That's the problem. None of these politicians do. These politicians are literally just play acting with each other. They don't care. They really don't. They want the money in their pockets, and they want to just do whatever they can to hurt as many people as they can so that they can continue to fight with each other and continue to get...
They're coming out with more bills that go after, like, stuff like fan fiction, writing, like Wattpad, Facebook and everything else, that you have to give your ID before you can use them or you can view certain stuff. And I'm like, y'all don't see where this is going? And you can't blame this on the Republicans, because there's both sides of the aisle agreeing with this. And you can't see where this is heading. Because, see, I'm old enough to still remember having to march to the German goose step, or they would hang you, your wife, your kids, the rest of your family, whether they were extended or not, right in the streets in Germany. If they thought you weren't with them, you got a short noose. And not in the proper way. They would just put a bucket under you and kick that bucket out, and you would sit there shaking until you died. And people go, huh? And I'm like, yeah, that's what they're leading into. And it's both sides of the aisle. It's not one or the other. It is both of them. Yeah, because they're both coming after things that will put people in danger.
Yeah, I think people have not learned from history at all.
They haven't.
I remember growing up and learning a lot about the Holocaust. I remember growing up and learning a lot about different things that now I don't think kids, like, and I'm only 30. But, like, now they're really just not teaching these things.
They're not. They don't teach that when the Irish came over during the Spanish-American War, 200 Irish men joined the Mexican army because they said, this is an oppressor's hand. You are going into places you have no business being in, saying, this is our land now, we're going to take it. Yeah. And I'm like, when the Irish tell you you're fucking up, you're fucking up.
Yeah.
Because and a lot of people want to be like, oh, we went through this amount of years of oppression. I'm like, the Irish went through 800 plus, if not more, in their own homeland.
Yeah, and that's, oppression. I mean, that's just one group of people. Let's talk about the Jews. Let's talk about how much oppression
they have gone through since they have been around. And people want to go, oh, they ain't seen shit of what we witnessed. I'm like, are you stupid?
And that, I think that's the other problem, is that people, it's almost like people are trying to like one up each other. And it's like, every person with every background, every single person
has gone through oppression.
Has gone through it. Like the word slaves. Okay, the word slave.
The term Slav, which was the Slavic people, which were around Romania and other places. Because people in the Middle East, the Byzantine Empire, would come in, kidnap them, and be like, you're going to work for us now.
Yep.
Whether you want to or not. And then when you have kids, they're going to work for us, and their kids' kids will work for us, and so on and so forth. And people want to go, oh, that, and I'm like, we all originate from the same area. Mm-hmm. Like, that has been proven. We all come from around Ethiopia. We all just spread out. That's why we have lighter skin, because we were in colder climates. There wasn't a whole lot of sunlight beating down on us. Our skin didn't need to darken.
Yeah.
That is the only difference. And people go, no, it isn't. And I'm like, yeah, it is. That is the only major difference.
Yeah, it's like we have lighter eyes because of the snow and the ice. We needed the lighter eyes so that way we could see
better. To be able to see better.
With that glare off the snow and the ice.
And I found out that because I had met my biological mother's first cousin at my job, we have Romanian bloodlines.
Mm-hmm.
Romanian and Irish and Scottish because of my dad and my mother. And I was like, well, I knew that. I knew that much already. Like, you're just telling me things I already know.
Yeah.
Did you see in China the whole sun and the four dragons surrounding the sun?
No, I haven't seen that.
I saw it on TikTok and I'm like, oh, shit. What that means. For anybody.
Yeah.
I guess my little sister's home.
All right. Well, would you like to keep talking, or would you like to?
Well, of course.
Okay. So, is there anything that you in particular that you want to talk about?
Not that I can think of at the moment, but I'm sure you have plenty of questions.
My brain is just like flipping through the catalog right now. You talked about past lives. What do you remember from your past lives? Because I remember very little from mine, but...
The main things that I remember are the things that people only see in their nightmares.
Yeah.
The traumas, the pain. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people go, well, how were you in Germany during those days? I was a decently ranking officer who had turned into a Russian spy. Because... It got to the point that I said, enough is enough. This is too much. Because at first it was only about the Jewish people. And we were all really upset after the First World War because everything was put onto Jeremy. And we were all upset. We were all in the worst headspace you can be when electing an official. And here comes this dude who was in the army. He was in a platoon that I knew right well. I knew him in World War I. And he should have died in World War I. And so he comes into power, and it was, tell on your neighbors. If they don't agree with us, tell us. And it got to the point that people that you trusted, everybody was looking at everybody like, oh, you could be a bad guy. And it got to the point where I saw the wrong that was being done. So I started giving information to the Russians. I was caught doing that and sent to the very camp where Dr. Josef Mengele, or the Doctor of Death, was stationed. And I had twins. So you can imagine what had happened to them when he realized more twins for my experiments.
That's
not to mention watching the people you love the most get put down in front of you and shot one by one before your very eyes, only to then be shot yourself. That sticks with your very being.
Yeah, something that's imprinted onto your soul.
And it's still the reason I call a lot of Germans krauts.
Yeah.
Because I still have that bitterness, that anger that just won't die. Same with, like, if I ever saw you with a V tattooed on your neck, me and you would be friendly towards each other because I would see that as a mark of my enemy. And that comes back to the old. He's the second soul. He's the one that watched his entire home burn. His family dead outside. Think of the doctor during the time war, how he said no more. Think of it that way, but only going after your enemy and wiping and giving an oath to wipe them from the face of the earth, the men, the women, and the children. And a lot of people go, why? Like, even some of my best friends have asked me, why would you raise a crimson-colored flag, which means no prisoners, no survivors? If you are in my way, you will be dead. And I'm like, because if I have to send a message, what better way to send a message than to commit a war crime? Because you can kill combatants. That's going to be sad and all, but that's not going to send a message of you are coming into my home, you are hunting down my people, my kinsmen. This is what happens. And it's kind of what the British did a little after World War I when they came into Ireland and you had the Easter Rising event. They come into one of the Gaelic games and just started shooting indiscriminately. 14 people were killed. Not a soldier was bleeding when they nailed the coffin lids. Not a soldier was bleeding. And they wondered why Ireland gave them such a hard time. I'm like, you walked in, started killing men, women, children, people that had no involvement in the Easter Rising event because they were Irish. That leaves an impression. And there's still hatred today. You saw when Queen Elizabeth died, a lot of the Gaelic football matches. Yeah. Who were they roasting? Queen Elizabeth. Even though she would have been a child, like a real young child during these events, they still disliked the British so much that they were like, this is ingrained into our history. A lot of people had family members, friends that died in these events.
And it kind of all goes back to we've all got this trauma. Every single person in the world has got some sort of trauma. It doesn't matter what you look like, that's being passed down from one generation to another.
Exactly. And a lot of people go, well, how can I escape this? I'm like, you can do better.
Yeah.
You can say, I'm going to do better. You can make a promise, an oath to yourself that my family went through the shit. I'm going to be the one that breaks it and rises to the top by any means that I have to do. Absolutely. Just like you. You wanted to be an actress since you were a little girl, and now you've done it. And you've had people that have been by your side since day one saying, you're going to make it. Just keep at it. And now look at you. And a lot of people don't.
Now I'm having to wait for a writer's strike to be over and hoping that that will come out okay.
You have a podcast. You have your own platform. And just like with the thing that I shared to you on TikTok last night, I do believe about that one dude, I'm like, this is why everybody is turning their attention towards white people. And I'm like, I'm not white. I'm Gaelic. I may have white skin, but do not group me in with people that say, oh, you're this, so I won't even deal with you. I'm like, no.
And that's
because I don't care.
That's the problem, that we've gotten to this point where we don't care about culture anymore. It's not culture. It's white, black, Asian, you know, like it's all color now, you know, white, black, brown. And it's not right. You know, that's not how not all people who are
white skinned,
who look a certain way, you know, whether that be white, exactly, black, Asian, are, you know, again, it goes back to, yeah. Yeah, again, it goes back to, you know, there's good and bad on both sides. You know, I have Italian blood in me. I have Slavic blood in me. I have Irish blood in me. I have Scottish blood. Like,
What they would have called your Sicilian and your Italian ancestors in this country? Totally. They would have called them Guineas, WOPs, Dagos, and you know where the term WOP comes from? Without papers. And I'm like, there's no point in that. Mm-hmm. Because I've met Italian people. I've hung around Italian people. They are amazing people. They have good food. They have a very rich culture. There's bad Italians. There's bad Irish people. There's bad Scottish people.
My family had people on both sides of the law. I have family members who, you know, I have cousins who were in the mob. I have cousins who were police officers. Like, I literally have family members that were on both sides of the law. You know,
right?
Good family members and bad family members, you know? Like, I had family members that did bad things for the right reasons and good family members who did good things for, you know, bad
for the
things
wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And people always go, like, I've had somebody ask me, what is the worst type of anger? And I tell them, the worst type of anger is a very cold anger, because it is somebody that will not raise their voice. But when they are angry, you feel it in their presence. You feel it emanating from them. And it is this rage that is far worse than anything, because when you can make somebody that has that type of anger get angry, it doesn't die down.
Yeah.
Like, I have never seen you fully angry, but you do seem like the type that would be more cold, calculated. You don't lose your head.
I cry a lot.
Who doesn't? Like, I'm the type of person that if I am angry with you and you see me crying,
Run.
Just walk away. Let me calm down. Because if you keep fucking with me and I stop crying, them kneecaps looking really unbroken right now. And I got a crowbar.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
And Mike, the guy that's training me at my job looks at me and goes, why is whooping somebody's ass the first response? And I'm like, because it sends a message. It sends a message of, don't do that shit around here. Get your ass kicked.
That's the thing though. It's not the first response. The first response is the look. The first
right?
response is the look that you give. And when they ignore that look,
then it's okay. It's time you fucked around and found out.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like when the guy that stole food come in again and was drunk and raising hell. I was like, just come across this counter. Because what nobody realized is I had like a folding box cutter. Like a real small folding box cutter that I had started to open up in my pocket. Because he was starting to cuss out customers, starting to cuss out the waitress. Aww. And I'm just like, come over this counter. And my back was turned when he walked in. And the first person he started cussing at was me. So I'm like, oh, we chose violence today. So I'm just like, come over to that counter and I will give you a Glasgow smile.
Yikes.
And I'm like, you going to remember this ass whooping. And he finally left, like he was pushed outside and left. But he's trespassed. Like if he steps foot on the grass, he's going to jail.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you fucked around and found out. You were banned. You were told not to come back. You came back only to cause problems. And now look what's happened. Now there's no chance you're coming back because you fucked around and you found out.
Yeah.
And be thankful the law was called. Because I looked at Tristan. He's the one that's one of the writers. It's him and his brother Keegan that are the writers. And I said, I need to just get me a sawed-off shotgun, fill it with rock salt. Because rock salt won't kill you. But it'll hurt like a bitch. And he just looked at me and kind of smiled. I'm like, it won't kill them. There'll be no forensics. But they'll think twice about getting uppity again. They'll go, he got that shotgun with him.
Not the smartest thing, considering sawed-off shotguns are illegal, but, you know, hi.
That is true. For some reason, they're illegal. I'm like, what? It's just a short shotgun. It's got a shorter range on it. It just packs a very mean punch.
Yeah. Control is control is control.
Right. Just like how they're going after things like Wattpad and fan fiction. I'm like, why?
They do that every 10 years or so. They get bored and they decide that they're going to go after the fan fiction writers. And it's like, listen, just stop. Just let us be.
Right? It's like, we're not causing any problems, but you're getting offended. And they're specifically going after, like, the LGBTQ side of it. And they're not making it veiled at all. I'm like, so what? Somebody wants to see the brothers, Philly and Killy, make out and shit. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, like, what does it matter that we want Dean and Cass to be together? Shut up. Leave us alone.
Listen, Dastiel is already a ship.
Yes. Yes, it is.
That ship has sailed.
Yeah.
What I really wanted to see was Meg and Sam, like when Meg first appears.
Oh, yeah. Like,
oh, that would be so cute. And then you realize, oh, she's a demon. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, fuck. Yeah. Why you gotta do this?
Right? They would have been adorable. If Meg would have been human, they would have been adorable.
And then her human soul, like when everything starts to go down, appears to him and says, you caused this.
Yeah, that's such a gutted moment. That whole scene, just every time. I've watched the series at least 3 times, maybe 4 times all the way through. And
you've watched it like 10 times.
Just tear up. Yeah.
And then of course, Charlie, which is, oh my lord. They did
Charlie.
They did Charlie dirty, and that made me so mad. I was like, why you got to do her like that? I'm like, what did she do to deserve this?
She was queer.
Right.
You can't have a happy queer. Gotta kill the gays. That's just the trope. We gotta stick with that trope. It just starts like in horror movies. Hollywood, and let's just keep on perpetuating that trope.
Just like in like horror movies. Like, it's always either the couple that has sex, the gay person, or the black person that dies first. And I'm like, why? Because I can guarantee you, the black people that I know, if shit starts to get spooky, you can die by yourself. I'm going that way. You can stay here in this fucked up place and die by yourself, but I ain't finna die. I know better. I'm too dark in the skin to be like, stick around and find out. I ain't white. I don't do that white people shit.
Yep. That would be the exit stage.
Where are you going? Die by yourself, fucker. I'm not staying here. And just like, you saw the shit show that was Velma.
Yeah.
I was like, how are you going to turn Shaggy into a woman and Scooby into a woman and make them be a couple? Like, Shaggy is known for having Confederate ancestors. It is explored in one of the movies that he has Confederate ancestors. And he even says, I may be white, but I ain't never been no cracker. And I'm like, no, you haven't, because I swear to God, every person that of color that I know goes, Shaggy's one of us. Like, he may look like you, but he's one of us. And I'm like, no shit. Like, he rolls stoned everywhere. I'm like, he like me. If I'm not drunk, I'm stoned. Fair unless enough. I'm at work.
Yeah. Unless, yeah. There is a line. Work is
work is the only line.
Yeah, gotta be safe for work.
And like, the person that I hung out with yesterday invited me out to a bar.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't normally go to a bar to drink, because the last time I was in a little pub/bar, I got a little too drunk. And of course I was with other maid guys and women who were just like, eh, it is what it is. But from what I was told, somebody looked at me the wrong way, and I flew on them like stink on shit and gouged their eyes out. So I'm like, I'm going to stick to drinking at home, where I can just drink and pass out and not have to worry about getting into a fight.
Yeah, that's the last thing you need, is to get yourself into trouble. Don't do that.
And I looked at her and I told her.
Orange is not your color.
Right? And I looked at her and I said, I don't normally drink at bars, but if I go with you, if you see me getting too drunk, you cut my ass off. Like, you keep me on a leash, because I don't need no anything to happen. Everything is going good. I don't need something to fuck it up.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And what's even funnier is, like, you'll see people being like, oh, I couldn't be with somebody that has OnlyFans. Or somebody that's on the hub. I'm like, I don't give a damn. Because I know better than anybody, it's a job, same as any other job. It gets fucking tiresome. It gets annoying. Like, just because she has that, as long as she is not fooling around behind my back, and like not saying, hey, this is what's going on, then I would be upset.
Yeah.
But I don't give a damn what my partner does for a job.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's got to make a living, and this is tough times, man. This is tough. Right? Times. I will never judge anybody for having OnlyFans or anything
exactly.
Like that. Like, you do what you got to do to survive.
You do what you got to do to make money and be able to put food on your table. And she had said something, and I was like, are you inviting me to film with you? Because, like, I mean, I do it, but. And she was like, no. And I was like, Damn, I could just walk in and be like, what are you doing, step bro?
Anyway, to switch trains again and talk about past lives a little bit more. So my nonna used to tell me that she used to have this recurring dream. And this was like before she knew anything about World War II or the Holocaust or anything like that. But she used to have this recurring dream that she was a little Jewish girl underneath the bed, and that she would see the shoes of the Nazi soldier coming in, and every single time that the mattress got lifted up and she was seen, that's when she would wake up. So she would always tell me, like, when she that she was very, very convinced that she was that little Jewish girl in a past life. Like, that was her life before this one, was that she was a little Jewish girl and she got killed by a Nazi soldier.
It's very funny you mentioned that.
Yeah.
And if you can't tell based off my reaction why it is, because I remember, this is one of the very few memories that were, it was traumatic, and it was the one of the leading causes of me becoming a turncoat, was we walked into this building, and we were searching for Jewish people. And one of the soldiers under me walks over to a bed, lifts up the mat, just tosses the mattress up, and hiding under it is a little Jewish girl. Mm-hmm. And this was at a point where it was kill on sight, mm-hmm, because of the area we were in. That's what happened. And it was one of the causes of me saying, this is enough, because this child has done nothing. This child isn't even old enough to have even known what's happened. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people go, well, how could you sympathize with people that were in that army? And I'm like, because you don't know their stories. Not all of it was, oh, let's go do this. It was, you're going to do this or you're going to get the same punishment. It was, do this or die.
Yeah, there was a lot of Jewish people that ended up becoming soldiers because it was either do that or die.
Do that or get caught and be killed. Mm-hmm. And people go, well, you're, and I'm like, nope, because I don't have any hate towards anyone. Unless you're a Valkyrie and happen to have a V either branded or tattooed on your neck. Then it's on site. On principle, it's on site.
Yeah.
But I don't care what people's race, religion, sexual orientation. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Because I have met some of my best friends, you being one of them, aren't straight.
Yeah. Definitely not straight.
Right. I mean, just look at how you were shocked when Christian was like, I want to be with you. And you're just like, huh? You must be joking because I don't swing that way.
Yeah.
And now look.
I know. I was such a militant lesbian.
Right?
I was such a militant lesbian. And then Christian had to come in and swoop in and be like, bet.
He said, hold my beer. Watch this. Like, the moment I saw y'all, that little airport video you did when y'all first picked him up, I was like, she has found her forever. And, like, people ask me, like, because of my stay in the psych ward, why is it hard for me to love people? And I'm like, the two people that showed me what love was, I don't even know if they're still alive. One of them I met in the fourth grade. She was taken by the foster care system. The other one I met in the psych ward. And the day that I left, she had tears in her eyes begging me not to go. Yeah. And if it had been my choice, I would have decked a nurse just to stay. And people go, and I'm like, that's what trauma does to you. That's what having love for somebody does to you. When you love somebody and you get separated, it hurts. Like, it's not an easy thing to deal with. Just like divorce, it's not an easy thing to go through.
No.
Unless it is a clear case of, oh, this person's a piece of shit, it's time to get the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is definitely the case with a lot of people, especially.
Christian, like, if he called me, like, if we lived closer and he called me saying, hey, I need you, wouldn't be no question to it. I'd be like, I'm on my way. Just send the address. I'm on my way.
Yeah.
And people ask me, why are you friends with people that are not Christian? I'm like, because I wasn't always a Catholic. I wasn't always a Christian. I was a pagan at one point. So I can come and look at the Bible from both perspectives. And that's what's needed. You don't need to just look at something through one perspective. Because if you do, you'll understand very little of it. If you bring a new pair of eyes, as it were, you learn a lot more. You're able to pick up on things that other people wouldn't just look at and notice.
Yeah.
And it's the same with if you're a Christian going into paganism. You look at it with a fresh pair of eyes.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I grew up Catholic, Roman Catholic, to be exact. So I did the whole, like, they did the whole baptism thing and everything. I didn't go through, like, First Communion and all of that. My family left the church before that. But I had my whole baptism and everything. And it was like a whole big deal, the fancy dress and everything. And I mean old school fancy white dress, like lacy white dress. Because they would normally
look at your father and say, do you repent for whatever you've done in your life and so on and so forth? And then they'd go, by the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, the baptism.
They did the whole thing. You know, I grew up in the church until I was 10, and my parents got divorced. And when my parents got divorced, that's when I was like, I think I'm done with this church.
Right.
Because when my parents got divorced, Freya
just comes and goes, hey, Thor, hold my beer. This one's mine.
Yeah, no, that was definitely the time that Freya was like, I've been watching this one. This one. I've been watching her. She's mine now. She's mine.
And you've actually witnessed her power. And a lot of people go, oh, they're false gods. And I'm like, no. Because even in the Bible, it says, you shall worship no other god before me.
Absolutely. Which
acknowledges that there are other gods. And it also acknowledges why he didn't just smite Pharaoh when Pharaoh would not listen. Because it was not his domain. He had not enough power in that area to just go, it wasn't his area.
Absolutely. Yeah, Freya, and poor Freya, she had to deal with me being a dumbass.
Don't every god have to deal with that with baby pagan?
Oh my gosh. Because, like, okay, so when I was 10 and I was starting out on my path, because my nonna was full-blooded Italian, I just instantly gravitated towards the Greek and Roman gods. So I was like looking at all of these signs and symbols that Freya was dropping in front of me, and I'm like, oh, okay, this has got to be Aphrodite. This is Aphrodite. And I was like making all of these offerings to Aphrodite, and just, ah, oh, Aphrodite's so great. I love Aphrodite. And then like she would start dropping other hints that I was like, well, that's
this is not Aphrodite.
Like what? What? And I was like, oh, I guess it's just Aphrodite and Artemis, blah, blah, blah. And then I was starting to see like a lot of things that were very like Persephone-esque. And because she just kept on dropping all of these hints, trying to get me to realize, hey, stupid.
Hey, dumbass, you're praying to the wrong one.
Yeah, so she, and I was like, oh, I guess I've got three deities. And I'm just like sitting here like 13, 14, 15 year old me going, oh, yeah, Aphrodite, Artemis, Persephone. And then like, as I grew older and was like learning more, and I got into the Egyptian deities and started researching Egyptian deities, and I'm like, oh, these are really cool, blah, blah, blah. And I started researching about the Celtic deities, and I started researching about other deities. Eventually I found a meme.
Oh Lord.
A meme about Freya. And it was literally like Freya was just so fed up that she's like, hey, stupid, care. And I saw this.
And then you just went, oh shit, this is who it is.
Yeah, so I saw this meme about Freya, and then I started doing research on Freya, and I kept on seeing runes everywhere. And so then I started researching about the runes, and I'm like, oh, well, runes are Odin, because, you know, Odin hung from the tree and sacrificed himself to create the runes. And I'm like, so is it Odin? And then, like, I realized that Odin was only initiated into witchcraft because of Freya. So Freya is the one that initiated him, and if he was not initiated into witchcraft, he never would have had the runes. He never would have been able to get that knowledge. So it
because
was like
favor magic is specific to women.
Yeah. So it took me so long to get to that point. Because yeah, if Freya hadn't initiated him into witchcraft, he never would have been able to, because he needed somebody who was a female to initiate him in, because witchcraft was a solely female experience. Which is why he has a spear pierced in his side. Because they needed something that would mimic the pain that women go through during menstruation, because menstruation is the like trigger for witchcraft. It's the trigger that initiates you into womanhood and initiates you into witchcraft. So it took me so much longer than it should have.
It really did.
It took me
And then the only time I would see, like, you live, I would just poke fun at you and be like, hey, Loki's been trying to reach you about your car's extended warranty. And you were just like, Loki can fuck off.
Absolutely, Loki can fuck off. Absolutely.
What did he ever do to you?
What didn't he do to me? What didn't he? Come on. They are the most annoying piece of shit. Oh, first off, they are absolutely one of Christian's deities. Like, Bragi is absolutely Christian's first deity, but Loki is absolutely also Christian's deity. Like, Bragi is like his number one. Like, Freya is my number one, but Loki.
And then Loki's just over here, like, what's up, dude?
Huh?
Loki's just over here like, saw it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you're just like, why?
Yeah. But yeah, like, Loki is his second, the same way that Idun is mine. Like, Idun is my second. And I also absolutely, recently over the last, like, 2 years or so, Ron has been really prevalent in my life as well.
Been knocking on that door like, hey, let me in.
Yeah, she's just like, hey, Little Mermaid girl. So, yeah, but it's Freya's definitely had to put up with a lot from me. And I appreciate her so much for all that she has had to deal with. But Loki just likes to mess with me. They're just, they love to mess with me. They just ignore it. They think it's so fun.
Next thing you know, a spider just starts crawling somewhere near you, and you're like, damn it, Loki.
Or a fly. Ugh. The amount of time.
Like, one of the things I keep in my car is my necklace with Santa Muerte on it. Mm-hmm. Like, I have it hanging on my rearview mirror. And when I first got it, the Mexicans, when I worked at Tyson Foods, started to back away. Like, they got afraid. And I'm like, why? Like, she's not evil. Like, people want to be like, oh, she's evil because she's so close to death. And I'm like, no. She is to protect you from a violent death. And if you've been in situations that I've been in, you would realize that's just a part of the life.
Yeah.
Violent, dying in such a violent way.
I mean, that would be like fearing Freya or fearing hell or fearing Persephone or, you know.
Exactly.
Like, you can't be afraid of these. They're a part of, like, death is a part of life. It's, you know, Freya has dominion over half the noble dead. You know, she also has dominion over women who have died in childbirth, and you know, people who have had very hard lives in general. You know, hell is definitely got dominion over just your standard basic
those that die.
Yeah, just anybody who doesn't go to Freya or Odin or, you know, any of the other various deities who have places for the dead. You know, you can't fear them, you know? You can't fear Persephone. You can't fear Hades. You can't fear hell. You can't fear, you know, these deities who are associated with death, because...
And most of the time, they're not bad deities.
No.
Like, most of the time, they are the most reasonable
mm-hmm.
of all the deities are the ones that deal with death. Like, everybody, especially nowadays, likes to paint Hades as a very evil.
Yeah.
And I'm like, have you even read any of his stories?
Yeah, no, they haven't.
Like the whole Eurydice, oh, the big artiste, that whole thing. He tells him in that story, when you get, as you are going and leaving the underworld, do not look back. Mm-hmm. He gives them the chance to both get out of the underworld. Mm-hmm. What does he do?
He looks back at her.
He looks back at her, and she is lost forever. Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound like a bad guy to me.
Nope.
Like, he said what he told you what would happen, and you look back. He said, wait to look at her after you have crossed the threshold back into the mortal world. And they want to paint him like he's this evil, bad. And I'm like, he's the most reasonable and the nicest out of his brothers.
Yeah.
Like,
and let's face it, him and Persephone have the most functional marriage of all.
To Demeter's annoyance.
Yeah.
Because we both know that Poseidon and Zeus, well, let's just say if they were to adhere to mortal laws, oh, they'd be in jail for a very long time.
Absolutely. Absolutely they would.
Because the whole story of the original story of Medusa deals with one of the brothers coming in to I think it was either Aphrodite or Athena's temple.
She goes into Athena's temple and he rapes Medusa. And because Medusa was violated in Athena's temple, Athena gives Medusa what a lot of people call a curse, but really it's more of a gift. She gives her the gift of never being violated ever again.
It's a gift and a curse.
Yeah.
It's not fully a gift, but it's also not fully a curse.
Yeah.
And then, of course, most of the gods help the person that slays her, and I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Like, I know he needs it, her head, but there were plenty other Gorgons that do the same thing.
Yeah, just find somebody else. Leave Medusa alone. She's gone through enough.
And all she really wanted to do was be left alone. And just like in the story of Beowulf, when that story was written, Sweden was split into two halves. Geatland and Sweden. That's why it's said in the story. And I'm like, you know why? Because a lot of things in history, especially a lot of mythology that people like to say, oh, they don't exist. I'm like, my dear. I was not saved at the Battle of Bannockburn by a man who later went on to take out a very known murderer of Ladies of the Night in the Whitechapel district. Because that motherfucker, annoying he may be, because he's just an asshole, I owe him a life debt. And that is a debt you can never repay. And a lot of people are like, well, whatever happened, because they never find Jack the Ripper. And I'm like, what you think happened? That motherfucker got fucked up and wasn't buried in the proper way. So of course you're not going to find him. You can find DNA evidence. You can find DNA evidence of just about anybody, whether they've been killed or not. But he fucked around in an area where this vampire was hunting in, snatched up somebody that I guess Thurston had his eye on for a while. She's also on TikTok. I'm like, you don't get between a Nazgul and its prey. you kind of did something, went after somebody that he was either going to feed on or going to turn. You tried to kill said person, so he kills you, and then turns that person. It happens. Like a good friend of mine, one of my coworkers, talked about where do we get the horror stories of werewolves from. And I looked at him and I said, there's two types of werewolves. There's wildlings who have lost all sense of humanity, who can never retake human form. Because they've lost their humanity. They've lost the thing that makes them human. And then there are my folk who still retain their humanity, but through the years have lost the ability to fully turn into their beast aspect. It happens.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like when you look back at the mythology with the berserkers and the Ulfilden. There's so many different stories about bear men and wolf men, and whether you call them werewolf, whether you call them
wolf bears
or berserker, whatever it is that you want to call them, like these are stories that have been all around the world.
And in all cultures, you can find two different stories. Vampire stories and werewolf stories. In every single culture across the entire world. Mm-hmm. Why would every culture have a story of these beasts if they were not a threat or did not exist?
Yeah.
Because mythology doesn't just get written because somebody said, oh, this would be a good story.
Yeah.
It gets written.
Sometimes it does, but not always, though.
Not always. And a bulk of the time, it's mostly... Besides here recently with the whole creepypastas and things that have sort of become urban legends.
Yeah.
These were things that they feared, that they were truly terrified of. And a fear like that does not happen without something to give that fear.
Yeah.
Like the fear of things that look human but aren't human. Mm-hmm. That fear has been ingrained into all of humankind. That doesn't happen if there is nothing that looks human but isn't human. Mm-hmm. Meaning there was something that looked like us but was not us. Mm-hmm. And people go, "What? Well, how can you say that?" I'm like, one of the oldest human fears, is there's two of them. The fear of the dark, which is basically the fear of the unknown, mm-hmm. and the uncanny valley effect. Which is something that looks like a human, but is not a human.
Yeah.
And it's just basic psychology. It's knowing how you get phobias, knowing how you get fears. Like, fears don't just happen because of one instance. It is something that your ancestors had to deal with because it gets passed down. Fear of heights.
Yeah, which then comes back to water. Generational traumas, like all of these things. I mean, a lot of these things are passed down in our DNA. Like, there are things that we have we don't understand why. Like, why we have these things. And it's, you look
like with alcoholism,
300 years, 500 years, 1,000 years, and you see why.
Just like with alcoholism, mm-hmm. they have found that people that are in countries that tend to have a lot more people that drink, later on you get that gene that can just handle alcohol like it's water. Mm-hmm. And it just continues to go down the line.
Yeah.
Like with me and my biological brother, a dickhead he may be, but we are both alcoholics. Now he's recovering, basically. He don't, because he had to go to AA because his friends let him leave a party drunk. Mm-hmm. And he could speak to you as I'm speaking to you now. No slurring, no nothing. It wasn't until he blew a 2.38 that he was like, oh shit, I am drunker than shit. Yeah. He could walk a straight line. That's how I get when I drink. I might black out and not remember the night, but you would never knew I was black out. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I have my best friend who just, because he's already hard of hearing, even though he's a year younger than I am.
Yeah.
When he drinks, his ears just stop working. Like, he starts screaming if he's wanting to communicate. I'm like, dude, I can still hear you. You yeah. can lower your voice. Like, I know you can't hear yourself and you can hardly hear me, but you don't have to scream.
Yeah.
And he's been with me through quite a few instances of not being able to remember. He was right there. Just like he got his nickname for a reason. And I found that out the hard way.
Yeah.
Because when he still lived by himself and wasn't moved in with me, we got drunk one night over at his house. And me, I woke up early because that's what happens when I drink. When I drink, I tend to wake up a lot earlier than what I normally would. So I walk over to his room. I open the door and I go, good. And before I can finish good, because I was going to say good morning, Vietnam. Mm-hmm. He turns around and that motherfucker is staring at me. I swear it was a third leg that had a mind of its own, because that motherfucker was staring at me. And I'm just like, huh? What the fuck? I thought you was a bullshitting, and you wasn't a bullshitting. And he just goes, I bet you'll never open my door again. I'm like, not after that instant.
No,
like, I don't want to see that again. And he always said his nickname was Donkey, you know what? And I'm like, I don't believe you. I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, and then I saw it
and I was like, never mind. I don't want to see that ever again.
That's funny.
We all have our best friends that are like family to us that we have like embarrassing stories of.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And people go, how? And I'm like, that's somebody that I call my brother. He is no blood or biological relation to me in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But he is my brother, and I will defend him tooth and nail. Just like you're practically my sister. If somebody fucks with you, I'm going to say, give me the green light. Who gets hurt? And just like with the bullshit you had to deal with a couple months back, I'm like, do I need to make an appearance? Like, do I need to let them know, hey, you can fuck around and find out?
Because yeah,
they may be some, right? And I'm like, they may be a couple of Yankees, but I'm from down south. We handle shit. We don't tend to call the cops a whole lot unless we ourselves cannot handle it. And then we're going to get on the phone and call the cops. But I, having been screwed over by the cops, I'm like, I'm going to handle this shit myself. Like, I ain't going to call the fucking cops. If you're trespassing, you get one warning shot. The next shot's going through your knee.
Yeah.
And people go, why would you do that? And I'm like, because I'm not about the bullshit. I'm not going to put up with tomfoolery. I'm not going to put up with foolishness.
Yeah.
Just like, I was engaged a while ago, but the woman was fucking my best friend behind my back, and he was coming to me and telling me this, and I didn't want to believe him. I was like, no, she wouldn't be doing that to me. And it wasn't until she started treating me like an option that I was like, fuck it, I know what I'm worth, and I'm not gonna deal with that. So I dropped her like she never was.
At some point, Alex, you are going to find your person. At some point. You can keep staring at me like that. I've been saying it for years, and I'll keep saying it. At some point, you're going to find your person.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to end up like Dean.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Because I'm already an alcoholic. Or borderline alcoholic. I don't drink often, but when I do, I don't stop until I can no longer get up, grab a glass, and be like, I can do it.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I would love to continue chatting, but I'm going to have to get ready for therapy soon. So
I have to finish getting ready for work. So
yeah.
It has been an honor. Mrs. Hulmnir, and if you ever want me on again, you know how to reach me, and I will always be happy to come back.
Thank you so much. Thank you for doing this last minute, too, by the way. If you guys are listening, Alex is the real MVP, because I was going to interview my friend Madison today, and she wasn't feeling good, and I told Alex about it, and he's like, hey, I got time.
Right, I was like, I got time. I ain't gotta be at work till like 9 o'clock tonight. So I'm like, it is what it is. So I've been wanting to be on the podcast. We've been trying to do this for a while now.
I know. I've been trying to get this started for so long, and I keep on like having these false starts. And I think this is gonna be it. I think this is finally gonna be the time.
Now you're getting people that are in different parts of the country, people that you have not met in person, that know you, that know of you, that are like, I'm here.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those friends that you've seen it. I've proven myself time and time again. I'm a ride or die. Like, if you need me, I'm here.
I know.
Like, if I have to say, hey, work, my friend needs me, I'm hopping on a plane and I'm coming to wherever the heck you are. And I'm like, what's going on? Because I'm that type of friend. I'm that friend that, like, I got you. Whether you right, whether you wrong, if I call you a friend or if I call you family, it don't matter if you're right or wrong. I'm going to be there to support you. But if you are wrong, I'm going to say, hey, you are in the wrong here. You're the one fucking up.
Yeah.
And I've lost friends for being that way. And I'm like, I'm not going to let you think you're in the right when you're the one fucking up.
Absolutely.
And I would expect the same out of you as a friend.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that's what a friend is. A friend is that person that's got you no matter what, but will always be happy to tell you, hey, you're the one in the wrong. You're the one fucking up.
I mean, come on. You know me, Alex. Of course I'm going to call you on your bullshit.
You and your runes. All the time.
Absolutely. Anyway, you have a good one. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I will absolutely have to have you on in the future. Thank you so much.
And maybe in the future we have it more scripted out and more ready to go.
I don't know. I liked this. This was fun.
You know why? Because I don't do scripted very well. Because I tend to speak from my heart and from what I feel passionate about.
Yeah.
And that's where the best interactions with people come in.
Yeah. I think next time we'll at least have some, like, topics on hand. We won't script it, but we'll have some topics on hand. We'll, like, we're going to hit this and this and this.
And with that note, arrivederci, my friend.
Bye. Thank you so much.